is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Chapter 19 and verse 4. The second is in Genesis chapter 1. Matthew 19, verse 4, and Genesis chapter 1. We have been in a series of messages entitled Heaven's Help for the Home. We recall the verse of Scripture in Psalm 127, 1 that says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And this is the promise for our homes. If we build it with the Lord Jesus Christ at the center, He will continue to strengthen and continue to help our homes. Heaven's help for the home. You know, you can build a family in many different ways. You can build it on what this culture says is the priority. Or you can build it on what God says is the priority. Well, one of those things is that there are distinctions between men and women. There are distinctions. And today we're going to talk about celebrating the differences, how God has made each of us different. And you say, well, which one is better? You're going to tell us that one is better than the other. No, I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say that God made us different in order for us to complete one another, not to compete with one another. And until you really grab a hold of this truth, you'll be confused in your marriage. Today we may be discussing some generalities, some things that may not necessarily be true of every male or every female, but they are generalities. And they are ways that God has designed us and God has built us and God has made us in His Word, showing us in His Word. And so if you have those two places, if you would please stand in honor of God's Word as we read Matthew chapter 19 and Genesis chapter 1. Look at Matthew chapter 19 first. Look in verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them,'" what does your version say? I'll say that again in unison. "He made them male and female." He made them male and female. "And He said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" Now flip over to Genesis chapter 1, because Jesus is referring to something that you find in Genesis chapter 1. He says, "Have you not read from the beginning that God created them, and He created them," what? Some of you already don't believe Him. Say it again. "He made them
male and
female." In Genesis chapter 1, look in verse 26. He says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man. And He's referring to men and women when He says man. It's mankind. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Whoa, you guys had it. Good job. I didn't even ask you to do that. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. and to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Turn over to chapter 2, verse 24. Just one page over. Well, look at verse 22. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Dear Lord, I pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us wash our minds with what the culture decides about the sexes. And Lord, I pray that you would help us regain confidence in what your word has said. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have two major points, but before I make those two major points, the first thing I just very quickly, just to introduce it. You know, our world is quickly endeavoring to blur the lines of male and female distinctions. I don't know if you know that, but there is an obvious trend that you see where they are trying to blur these realities that God has set in motion. God made them male and female, and we don't know. No, he didn't do that. He made them male and female. And both of them are different in and of themselves. They're not worth any different from each other. They're both worth the same, but yet they have these different distinctions. And yet some are moving heaven and earth to blur these distinctions and try to make it sound like, you know, there's no real difference at all. Just look at the anatomy. And anatomy will tell you there's a difference between male and female. There, sometimes we can just look at just nature. And even boys and girls know that they are different from one another. You say, well, that's just nurture. It's not nature. It's just developing an environment for that boy. And that's why those boys grow up and want to shoot guns at one another and blow up things and throw little fake grenades at one another. And so that's just nurture. Well, let me just tell you this, that it is just natural for a boy to turn anything into a little gun. Sometimes we ban guns, like fake little guns, or you can't pretend that a stick is a gun in certain schools and things, and that's fine. If you want to have those rules, that's fine. But they will turn something into a gun. Case in point, I had Levi on the changing table, and Levi's 4 months old, right? And he wasn't on the changing table, he was facing me on the couch, and I grabbed the heel of both of his feet, and I started using them as guns, and I started shooting them. And Lydia's sitting right beside me watching me do it. What are you doing? I don't know. It felt kind of like a gun. It's just natural. Sometimes you say, no, you just need to give those boys little dolls. That's what you need, and they'll nurture those dolls. Have you seen what a little boy will do to a doll? He'll grab one of the legs and then cock the other one and start putting it in. You think some of y'all are going to write me emails. Don't write me this week. But some are moving heaven and earth to blur these lines. And we say, no, little girls, they need to have these boy toys, and then the boys need to have these girl toys, and they just need to develop. And so some toy stores are even blurring the lines. There's no longer boys' toys and girls' toys. Why? Because there's an agenda at work. That's why. It's an agenda. And that agenda is trying to blur the lines of gender distinction that God has just put inside of man, and God has put inside of woman. We're seeing this in renaming things. There was one report out of a city who was trying to change the names of manhole covers because it had the word man in it. Now, who cares? Who cares if it's called a manhole cover? And so they were taking votes. What are we going to call this as a city? What are we going to call this manhole cover? And somebody said, we can call it a personhole cover. But you can't do that. Why? Because it's per son. Son, that's male. So you can't call it a personhole cover. And so one person said, let's just call it a sewer viewer. And that's what you come up with. Try to take out all of the gender distinctions in our words, in our vocabulary. And you just have some crazy things that you end up with. Because we're trying so hard to blur those lines. What are you going to say about woman? Somebody said, well, we can't call her woman anymore. Why? Because, whoa, man. And there's that man in there. And so then you say, whoa, person. And a preacher told me, he said, well, you don't call him a whoa person because son is at the end of it as well. So you just have to call him whoopers. Whoopers. Vance, you try calling Glenda a whooper. You know, I'll try calling Lydia a whooper next time No, I'm not going to get away with that. They won't let me get away with that. But what are we doing? We're blurring distinctions. Even Bible translations that are coming out, they will come out with gender-neutral translations. And in some sense, I understand, because like I just read to you in the Hebrew, it is really describing God created mankind. And he's talking about men and women when he says that term. But then when he says male and female, he's being very distinct. Sometimes in the New Testament where he says, brothers, I implore you to do... You could say brothers and sisters because he's talking to the whole congregation. But there are many times in Scripture where we should not we should not take away the gender distinction that is found in our Bibles. So before we get to the differences that God has made within each of us, I want us to first of all look at the dignity of all human life, both men and women. There is an equality in God that God has created both of us in the image of God. Look back again at Genesis 1, verse 26. And he says, God created man or mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So notice the dignity of men and women. First of all, he created males and females equally. Equally. Did you know all throughout the history of the world, there have been different sects and groups of people who have degraded and devalued women? Even today, in our world today, sometimes we talk about, you know, Sharia law, and sometimes we talk about tolerance for the Muslim religion. But quite frankly, I mean, anything that degrades women, which is what that religion does, why are we in favor of it? Why are we trying to tolerate something that would abuse women? When in their Bibles, in their holy books, they say you could beat lightly your wife. Why would we say that's just as valid as the Christian religion? And yet that's what we're being told today. No, there's no problem there. No, there is a problem because there are many groups of people in our world today that devalue women. And quite frankly, when you talk about what did Christianity bring to society, it didn't bring a devaluing of women. It brought an elevation of women in society. It did. And we're going to see some of that this morning. There's an equality. God says in His Word, God says in your Bible, you just read it, God created them in the image of God. There's only two individuals who were made in the image of God. Gorillas weren't made in the image of God. And today, you know, we saw the outcry of the public, quite frankly, of the media, over a gorilla who had to be shot and put down. Because a little boy's life was in danger. And there was this great outcry. Oh, you didn't have to do that. You don't know what you're talking about. Do you know gorillas? Do you know what would happen if you just tried to put that gorilla to sleep? Instead of killing that gorilla? Well, you know, that gorilla was well loved. Okay, it was well loved, but it's not as valuable as a human life. God made man in His image. God made them male and female. God created both of them. And every single person is more valuable than any animal on the face of the earth. Period. And yet we've got people who will want to devalue people and slaughter people, but value the lives of animals. When we say, where is our value system? Have you built your value system on God's word or on the culture around you or on peer pressure? God created them equally, male and female. He created them equally. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 28. Both male and female were told to subdue the earth. Now, this is something that you've normally not heard. You hear where God says in verse 26, let us make man and let him have authority and dominion over the face of the earth. But all you have to do is look down a few verses in verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, males and females, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. That's the word we get dominion from, authority. Men and women both were told to subdue the earth, to take authority over the earth, to lead and to grow and to build lives and to dominate the earth. Not dominate one another, but dominate the earth. And this was given to both men and women. Do you see how God is creating value for both, not just one? He didn't say to the man, now you're going to have dominion over all of life and over the women. Did he say that? He didn't say that. He didn't even hint towards that. He's giving value to women equally as to men. God does not value boys over girls. You can write this verse of Scripture down. It's in Numbers 27, verses 6 and 7. It describes about five women who were the daughters of a man named Zelophehad. This man had died with no male heirs, and the tradition of Israel said that a man with only daughters would leave no land rights to his family. However, when the women came to Moses to protest, Moses asked God what to do. And in Numbers 27, verses 6 and 7, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. That one moment changed the course of life among the children of Israel. God contradicted basically the pattern of the elders at the beginning and said these women should be given the inheritance just like the sons would have been given the inheritance. And God is establishing something. If he was devaluing women, if Christianity was devaluing women, or Judaism at the time was devaluing women, then we would not have that in our Bible. But no, he's saying, no, this is something that is right and good. They need to be taken care of. They deserve that inheritance. What's another thing? Men and women are to be treated equal. In Galatians 3, verse 28, you can write that verse of Scripture down. There's neither Jew nor Greek. That's saying there should be no racial inequality. All the races are to be equally valued, period. There's no race that is above the other. This is what God's Word teaches, that there's no difference, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We are to be treated equal with one another. Period. Then lastly, I want you to see how men and women have both been empowered for ministry. You know, if you look in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter is describing what is happening, and he tells them, he refers back to Joel 2:22, where he says, both your men and your women will prophesy. He doesn't say, your men will prophesy and your women will listen. He says, both men and women will prophesy. Who were the first evangelists of the resurrection? It wasn't men, it was women. They were the ones who saw the risen Christ, and they had to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's an evangelist. I don't know how else to say it. They were telling others about Jesus. You had Anna, a prophetess, which just means one who was speaking for God in Luke's account of the birth of Christ, and Jesus was taken to the temple, and Simon saw the little baby Jesus, and he wept and he prophesied. And then it says Anna went around and told everybody she could find about the risen Christ. This is a woman in the temple telling about Jesus, about the Messiah who has come. What else do you find? You find in the book of Acts, you have Philip and his four daughters. We value Philip as that great evangelist and great preacher, but he had four daughters, and it says all four of them prophesied. That means they spoke for God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says when a woman prays or prophesies in public, she should have her head covered. That doesn't mean that she won't pray or prophesy in public. That says when she does it, she should have her head covered. Now, we can talk about what head coverings are, and that just describes a submissiveness in the home of her husband, but she's praying or speaking for God in a public place. God values the ministry of men and women, period. And so there is a dignity that we need to give to both men and women forever, that both of us are made in the image of God, that both of us have been empowered for ministry, that both of us are to be treated equally, that there is equality in the kingdom of God. Jesus brought that to us as well as the Holy Bible. But, you know, there's also distinctions, not in value, but distinction in roles. And the Bible does clearly teach those distinctions. And he teaches them in different ways. But we need to acknowledge those distinctions. Like I said, people are, in our culture today, are trying to blur those lines and almost pretend like there are these differences that do not exist in between men and women. Biology teaches us that men and women are different. Brain development. I did a research paper when I was working on my master's, and I dealt with the differences between the brains of men and the brains of women. And I can boil it down to a couple of things, but one of the biggest things is that in the womb, you have this great levels of testosterone that are flowing through the brain that is connecting the right from the left brain, all of these little things that are connecting those two hemispheres together, and this testosterone is flooding over and is separating the right hemisphere from the left hemisphere in the male, but in the girl, it doesn't have that. In the female, it doesn't have that. They're staying connected. And so when your wife says, "If I feel like I'm dealing with you with half a brain, I feel like I'm living with someone with half a brain," well, there's a lot of truth to that, because, you know, because we don't function like that. A woman and nature tells us that a woman can be having five or six conversations all at the same time, and know how to chime in here and then get back to her conversation over here. She knows what's going on over there, and you say, "I didn't even see that. I didn't even know what's going on. I'm just focused on this one thing." And you say, well, there's no real difference between men and women. Of course there is. Biology teaches us that. Our brain development teaches that. The Bible teaches us that. Does it mean that any are more valuable than the other? No. But sometimes we think about it like that. We say, well, you're saying that men are more valuable than women. I'm not saying that at all. You're saying men are smarter than women. I didn't say that. Lydia is far smarter than I am. And she knows it. And I know it too. I mean, it just, we have this understanding. She's smarter than me. But I did have enough sense to marry her, right? So there is something there. But I was reading, James Dobson, he's written two books called Bringing Up Boys and Bringing Up Girls. And both are very, very good books to pick up and read. But he wrote this in the Bringing Up Boys book. He talked about getting letters from boys and girls all throughout his ministry at Focus on the Family. And he said one of the letters that he got came from a 9-year-old girl named Elizabeth Christine Hayes. And she wrote this. She said, "Dear James Dobson," instead of Dobson with a P, "I hope you like my list of girls are better than boys. You are a good guy." And she said, "P.S., please don't throw my list away." And then she described why, all the ways that girls are more better than boys. Girls chew with their mouths closed. Girls have better handwriting. Girls sing better. Girls are more talented. Girls can do their hair better. Girls cover their mouths when they sneeze. Girls don't pick their nose. I didn't know that. Girls go to the bathroom politely. Girls learn faster. Girls are more kinder to animals. Girls don't smell as bad. True. Girls are more smarter. Girls get more things what they want. Girls don't let stinkers as much. I'll let you figure out what that is. As a 9-year-old. Girls are more quieter. Girls don't get as dirty. Girls are cleaner. Girls are more attractive. Girls don't eat as much. Girls walk more politely. Girls aren't as strict. Girls sit more politely. Girls are more creative. Girls look better than boys. Girls comb their hair better. They shave more. Girls put on deodorant more often. Girls don't have as much body odor. Girls don't have their hair messed up. Girls like to get more tan, and girls have more manners. And so she wrote this list to James Dobson and said, don't throw it away. Well, he posted this to his 2.3 million viewers and shared this with them. And many responded by saying, well, if you're going to say how girls are better than boys, then you need to write a list of ways that boys are better than girls. And he didn't have a list, so he just put it out there. And one of the parents actually said, well, you know, you're being too politically correct, because if you were not as politically correct, you would have put out a list of why boys are better than girls as well. And he said, well, I've never been called politically correct. So he said, I'm going to present this list. So he put it out there for all the boys to respond, ways of how boys are better than girls. And the responses were funny. So he printed this, why boys are more better than girls. Boys can sit in front of a scary movie and not close their eyes once. Boys don't have to sit down every time they go. You can figure that out. Boys can go to the woods, to the bathroom in the woods. Boys can climb trees better. Boys don't worry about diet this and diet that. Boys are better tractor drivers than girls. Boys write, R-I-T-E, write better than girls. Boys don't waste their life at the mall. Boys don't braid another's hair. Boys don't cry and feel sorry when they kill a fly. Boys learn to make funny noises with their armpits faster. Boys don't cry over a broken nail. Boys can spell Dr. Dobson's name correctly. Boys bait their own hook when they fish. Boys don't hang pantyhose all over the bathroom. Boys don't wake up with bad hair. Boys couldn't care less about Barbie. Boys don't have to have 21 pairs of shoes, 3 for every day of the week. Boys don't put a tub of makeup on all the time. And boys don't care if their noses aren't perfect. So he printed this, and he also got a few other responses. I just want to read these. I really like the page about, this is from an 8-year-old. I really like the page about girls are more better than boys. I found it because I was walking by the table, and the word girl caught my eye. I believe every word of that piece of paper. I have been trying to convince my friend Lenny that girls are better than boys, and now I have proof. Michael, age 12. Most boys really don't care about the list Elizabeth made. Boys care more about sports and having fun and not caring about the way they look, unless they're going somewhere nice. I was made to write this letter. An 8-year-old said, Elizabeth hasn't got a clue. And then one more, he said, I was reading through your letter and I saw the list of 31 reasons girls are better than boys. Know what I did with it? I stomped on it. Your friend Peyton, no age given. P.S., you have permission to print this. So you have, you know, the differences between boys and girls. Children know the differences. Children know that there's a difference. Nature knows that there's a difference. Biology knows that there's a difference. The Bible describes that there is a difference. And what we want to do is we want to affirm the differences that God has built into men and women. What are some of those differences? You know, we could talk about how men, when you're talking about what is the main win for a man, you know, when he's looking at his relationship with his wife, what is he wanting out of that relationship? Ma'am, if I could give you a little piece of advice, he just wants respect. He just wants to be valued in your eyes. He wants to be significant to you. Did you know I don't really care about anybody's opinion on my preaching except for Lydia's? Why? Because she's been a great critic of mine over the years, but then she's also been an incredible encourager. She tells me, Josh, that's been a great message. And you know what? That encourages me. It encourages me like no one else. And what is that? That's asking for significance. And men want that. Men don't want to be berated and degraded in the eyes of their wives. You want to build your home in a way that would be pleasing to God? Respect your husband, ladies. Respect them. You say, well, there's nothing to respect. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. There are things that you are looking at in your husband that you could appreciate the what he is bringing to the table. If he's a good breadwinner, if he's someone who's been a great provider for your home, tell him that. Say, well, I don't want to give him a big head. Well, you know what? You can't be doing it. You can't try to do that. I mean, you've got to instill confidence in what your husband is doing. You know, if I were saying to the men, what is the one thing that ladies want more than anything? It's love. They want to know that you love them more than you love anything else in the world. More than your hunting, more than your fishing, more than your friends, more than your work. They want to know that you are that they are your priority in life. And that love. Why is it that I could say it in such general terms? Do some men want love? Yes, of course. Do some women want respect? Yes, of course. But the main thrust is, generally speaking, respect for men and love for women. Why is that? God put that in us. God just put it in us. You know, inside of a man, there is a sense, there is a responsibility of providing for the home. I know that we have in our church many dual-income families. But if things are not working right in your home, if things are not being provided for in your home, do you know who should feel the sense of responsibility? It's the man. They should feel that. It's already in them to feel that. It doesn't matter if the woman is making twice as much money as the man. Oftentimes that's the case now. Why? Because they're smarter. Because they're just doing so good in our society. That's great. But at the same time, God put inside of a man to feel responsible when things are tight. You know, and we don't need to take that away from the men. That's what I'm trying to say. There in some homes, because of some sort of handicap, because of some sort of limitation, as we age, it doesn't change what is going on inside of that man, even though his limitations may increase. Maybe he's wheelchair bound. Maybe he's not able to do what he used to do. And yet he still feels that sense of responsibility for the home, that there would be provision there. Why? God said in the book of in the Garden of Eden, for man to tend and to keep the garden. He gave him a job. And even if you're not working now, even though you may not be working, retired or what have you, there's a sense of accomplishment. Significance for a man is accomplishment. Significance for a woman are building relationships. It doesn't mean that they don't want to achieve. It doesn't mean that men don't want relationships. But they're generally speaking stronger in the area of achievement for men and the area of relationships for a woman. That's why sometimes when a man will say, I'm going to go do this, the woman will then say, you're going to break that person's heart. You're going to offend them if you say it like that. You didn't say it like that, did you? And you say, well, yeah, I did say it like that. And say, don't you know that that probably hurt their feelings? And the man is just not thinking like that. You say, it's because he needs to be better at that. You know, what's interesting, if we just wrote down as a list of qualities that women are looking for in men, what are they looking for? And they begin to write it out. I want somebody who's romantic. I want somebody who just wants to talk to me and bear their soul to me. I want somebody who's sensitive. I want somebody who, you know, and they begin to just list all of these things. You know what they're describing is another woman. They're another woman. And we're not that way. And ladies, I just beg you, don't make us women. Don't turn us into women. Realize God put maleness inside of us. And we're not being macho to talk about it. We're not being chauvinist by just describing how God made us and built us. God created them, male and female. And so you say to yourself, well, aren't there some gender confusion? Isn't there gender confusion out there? Isn't there gender questions and things? Yes, and we can deal with those confusing areas for individuals. And we need to sympathetically walk through that process with people. But I'm telling you, a man should be a man. They should talk like a man. They should walk like a man. And I'm not saying be a chauvinist, and I'm not saying be a pig or a bully. That's not what the Bible is telling you to do anyways. But it does mean that you should exhibit what it means to be a man. In 1 Corinthians, it has this command that says, be the man. He's telling Timothy, be the man in another area. Just be the man. What does it mean? Protect, provide, care for, lead. That's what it means. Now, any leader worth his weight would lean on the advice of other people. And I lead, but I'm telling you, I listen to the advice of other people. I do that as a pastor of this church, and I do that as the leader of my home. I listen. Why? Because she's smarter than me. And but yet God put us in the garden to tend and to keep. He put inside of us distinctions. We're physically stronger than women a lot of times. I know that there's some women in here who could probably beat me up. Okay, I understand that. But generally speaking, men are stronger than women. And generally speaking, women will outlast men. It doesn't happen all the time, but quite frankly, our motor is constantly running, and ladies, you pace yourselves better, and you outlive us. Oftentimes. You know, which one is better? Neither. All I'm saying is we need to appreciate the differences that God has put inside of us. So, sir, when she's pacing herself and not going as fast as you want her to, realize that she's just being herself. This is how she's wired. And ma'am, if you could please allow him to be as fast as God has put inside of him to be a doer, to be a worker, to be that person who's achieving. He risks. Men risks. Women want security. You know, so a man comes in and he says, I've got this great idea. We're going to, you know, so I dumped all of our life savings into this one idea. And the woman is saying, what did you do? What did you do? And he's feeling threatened in the sense of saying, she's disrespecting me, when really you're just not being smart by just telling her what you're going to do instead of bringing her along in the process and helping her realize, yes, it may be a great idea. Yes, it's okay to risk. But if you're a gas pedal, sir, she's a brake pedal. And she's slowing you down. I always said that I was on the rooftop and Lydia had her feet planted in the foundation. You know, she's solid on the foundation. And there's nothing wrong with that. It keeps you anchored, sir, to have someone who is grounded. But then also it encourages us to go and pursue and risk as a man. Ladies, don't see that as something that's negative. God made us different so that he would make us one. I don't want to be married to somebody like me. Do you? I mean, do you really want to be married to someone just like you? And yet sometimes the things that bring us together, once we're married, we allow those things to push us apart. Instead of realizing, as the great Rocky Balboa said, we fill gaps. Right? You guys will get that later on. But we fill gaps. We fill gaps. I was thinking about quoting another Rocky. I think it was Rocky IV, where Rocky looks at Adrian and says, I'm not asking you to stop being a woman. Don't ask me to stop being a man. Anyways, touching. It touched me. I know it's not touching you, but it touched me. Women are more verbal than men, right? Nature tells us that. Women are more verbal than men. You ask a man, how was your day today? He says, what? Fine. Well, what happened? Stuff. And that's enough. And then you ask her, How was your day today? Be prepared. Just sit down and get comfortable. Don't ask how her day was until you have, you know, coffee in your hand or you're sitting down and you're comfortable. And why? I mean, God made us that way. She's just more social, verbal, in the main, in general, than men are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Security. God put it inside of a man to protect a woman. Not just her wife, not just his wife. God put it inside of a man to protect women and children. It's just in a man to do that. And what did God put inside of a woman? God put inside of a woman a nesting instinct. I mean, it's just there. You know, she'll begin to, you know, if she has to move, she's not comfortable until it's all set up the way she wants it to be. In that nesting instinct, she's building it. I mean, when we were getting ready to have Levi, and Lydia just was, I mean, just like a tornado going through our house, getting things ready for Levi. We had to be ready to have Levi come into our home and into our family. And she wasn't comfortable. She couldn't relax. Most guys I know of can relax when the whole house is a mess. And we're relaxed. Why? Because we don't have that nesting instinct like the wife does. There's nothing wrong with that. We just have to understand that we are different from one another, and we should acknowledge those differences. You know, how about problem solving? When we're solving problems, well, first of all, let me give you a tip of advice, men. I've learned this through long experience. You have learned it as well. Those of you who have been married for quite a while. When she is telling you a problem, she doesn't want you to solve her problem. I heard some ladies amening on that. She doesn't want you to solve her problem. It took me a long time to figure that out. I mean, because I want to help. I'm a problem solver. You look hurt. I want to help you. And you don't want my help. She just wants to tell me what's going on in her world and say, it's going to be okay. And I understand. And that's it. But when there's really a problem to be solved, what do most men do? They rationalize. They use their mind. They don't really even think about people who are involved. They're just using their rational mind. And when women are problem solving, they are, no, I'm not going to say irrational. I'm not going to say that. They're not irrational. But they also think emotionally. They're thinking about people. They're thinking about feelings. And sometimes that is included. What am I saying? Listen to each other's strengths. We all have different strengths. And God made us that way so that we could strengthen one another. Matthew Henry said, the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but listen, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. Now that's precious. That's precious, because it's so true. How does this work itself out in our marriages? Can I tell you, I have interacted a great deal with strong women, and God loves strong women. I'm telling you, Proverbs 31 describes a valiant woman. It's a strong woman, and God values strong women. But oftentimes, I've heard those strong women describe for me what they're looking for in their husbands or looking for in a man if they're single. And you know what they want? They want a strong man. They don't want to rule over that man. They want a man that they can look up to. They want a man who can match their strength and say, we're going to do this. Let me give you an example of what John Piper said one time. He said, imagine, for instance, that you, as a man, you're walking down the street, you're taking a girl out to eat, but this girl is a black belt in karate, right? And she's wealthier than you are. And yet, because you're on a date with her, you have paid for the check for the meal, even though she's far more wealthier than you are. You've paid for the check, and then you're walking out, and all of a sudden there's a couple of thugs there. And those thugs are threatening to hurt you and this girlfriend that you've just started dating. And you know that she has a black belt in karate. But yet, instead of allowing her to fight, you've put her behind you. And you've said, if you want to get to her, you have to get through me. And even if you get beaten up and bloodied and black and blue, and even if she comes along after you and beats the tar out of those thugs, when you're walking away, she's thinking to herself, this is a man I want to spend my life with. Someone who would protect me. Someone who would provide for me. Someone who would not think about his own interest, but someone who would think about my interest and care for me. Now, this is the way God designed us. We're not asking women to be any different than what they are. Ladies, let's not ask men to be any different than they are. And realize God has made us different so that He would make us one. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we understand that You have put these distinctions inside of us. Lord, in our world today, those who are not grounded in Your Word, they see the culture and they see women dressing up like men. They see men dressing up like women. They see gender confusion all across the media, on our television screens, on our television shows, in movies, on school campuses, in workplaces. And Father, our hearts break for those individuals who are suffering in that confusion. But Lord, the truth of Your Word has clearly told us that You've made men to be men, made women to be women. And Lord, I do pray, just as Your Word has taught us about the differences between us, You've also told us that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, by an act of our will, we could place our sins, we could place our faith where You placed our sins on Jesus, on the cross. And we could say, Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior. Father, I pray for each individual in this room. I pray especially for the young people in this room, the millennials in this room, college age in this room, those who have not lived long enough to appreciate those distinctions. And I pray for them right now, and I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen them in this battle that is being waged right in front of their eyes to blur the genders, to make it to where there's really no difference between us. Father God, I pray, just as we have trusted You for salvation, just as we have anchored ourselves on Your Word, for other things, we can anchor ourselves in Your Word when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the home, when it comes to our differences. Lord, there may be some here today who have thought for a long time that Christianity devalues women. I pray, Lord, that You have clarified that in their mind. Help them know that there could be nothing further from the truth. That Jesus, You valued women. You elevated them. You used them in mighty ways. Holy Spirit, You have filled them. You've empowered them for ministry. Lord, You said in Genesis 1 that we were all, both men and women, to subdue the earth. We're equal partners. And in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. I pray, Lord, that You would help us value one another in this church and in our society. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. This altar is open for you. If you have a prayer need for anything, please come down and take this preacher by the hand, and I will pray for you. Chapter 19 and verse 4.